Now, you and I know that the word can be a human messenger, the Bible uses, especially the King James, or it could be an angelic being, all right? And the study today will involve this, the next step, the organization of good angels. They are organized, these good angels, in such a way that you and I can recognize the way that the structure of God have made it. Okay? All right. Next, please. And the first point is the innumerability of good angels. How many angels are they? Now, somebody asked you today, how many people are in the world today? What is, you approximately, we have a number. How many billions? 5 billions. They said it goes into 6 billion. Never before, 1939, was 4 billion people. Wow. In 70 years, we got 2 more billion people, okay? So now, the innumerability. You know what innumerability means? Pardon me? You can't count them, all right? Let's see if it's true. You cannot count how many angels are they. There are two scriptures, Daniel 7 and verse 10. And I use the New King James. This NKJ means New King James. And this is what the scripture said in Daniel 7, verse 10. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. And 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were open. And so the Bible tried to explain the amount of angels ministering to God, and there is no number that can be fixed. God is the creator. And I thought, when I look into that, I say, that's good. We as man are just finite, and God in his creation is infinite. Now the next, please. Now Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 22, and this K and J you see on the screen means King James, innumerable. Verse 22, but ye are come unto the Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Look at how God called the heaven, the heavenly Jerusalem. Who was looking for the heavenly Jerusalem? There was a man in the Bible, Abraham. That was not great. So Abraham was not wrong, okay? There is a city, a heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. You see that? Innumerable. The King James used that. A company of angels that you cannot count. There were so many that you cannot count. Verse 23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Look in heaven. We are gathered together not just as people, but as church. In heaven, all right? There's assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect. Two things caught my eyes when I read this verse. First of all, in learning that in heaven there is an innumerable company of angels. Oh, may we learn about electricity and about electronics and so on, and Joby, who is working in engineering, can tell you how active you have to be in learning, because new things are coming in all the time. But how beautiful is our knowledge is limited of what really the heavenly city is. All right? It's just amazing. And I was meditating in the loss for me of my friend Tom Schaff, a real godly man. And he showed me years in 74, one scripture that brought me to the conviction that God's going to only come once. It was 2 Peter 3:10, where the Bible said that the God, I wrote, at that time in 74, I got my master in theology, and I wrote a book on it, you know, on the premillennial coming of the Lord Jesus. And then one time, very gentle as Tom was, and very kind as he was, he said to me, have you ever read the scripture, 2 Peter 3:10, where the heaven's going to be in fire and everything going to end, and the Lord will come. And brought me to that gorgeous truth, the Lord only will come once. And so here it is. Lord is going to come, the innumerable company of angels are in heaven, And the beauty of verse 23 said the general assembly and church of the firstborn. In heaven, we're going to be called the general assembly and the church of the living God in heaven. All right, that's beautiful, okay? So the first thing that we learned then was that in the organization of angels, God makes a number that you cannot count. I think when you think in man, God created mankind, and in Matthew 24:14 said that when the last person will be called, Jesus will come. Now, what number is that person? We don't know. God has created numbers and numbers of men, and we don't know. Well, God's creation is unlimited. You cannot put a limit, all right? The next thing we're going to learn is the rank of good angels, all right? In Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 20, there are various seats of power that God has established. Look at this, verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now look at verse 21. Far above, talking about Jesus, what he did with Jesus, far above all principality, that's a rank in the angel, holy being, and power, that's another rank, and might and dominion. These are different names for the different ranking of the angels in heaven. And in the Old Testament, you see God acting through these people. And every name that is named, not only in the age, but also in that which is to come. Now, I thought to myself, people got so angry, some of them, because we only offer today Jesus in the morning service. We're also going to offer. Rahab was no anger. And Rahab was very prompt to believe that. And see, the angels have to learn that they are below Jesus. See? And you will see in a minute, the angels, we are not to worship angels. Angels are just, remember what Hebrews 1:14 said, angels are what? Ministers, servants. They are in service of God on behalf of his creation. So God organized them in ranks and power, okay? And look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Talking about Jesus, he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of a creation, all creation. We're all involved, the creation in heaven and the creation on earth. For by him all things were created. They are in heaven and are on earth, visible and invisible. Now, why do we have a hard time with angels? Because they are invisible. It's very hard. It's very hard. They are invisible. Whether thrones, that's another rank of power, or dominions, or principalities, or power. These are different ranks how God sees his heavenly creation. All things were created through him and for him. So they are organized. They have their own power. They have their own way to serve God. All right? And look at in 1 Peter 3:22.
I've got a question.
Yes. I don't think, see, the hard part of this is, I don't know, Russ, how to answer to that. If I don't think it referred to what government we know, referred to God's order. I will not attempt to get the organization of angels equal to the organization of men.
No, I don't mean that.
Oh, okay. No, he's talking about angels. Talking about cover. He talks about principalities. Is in a state of government of the angelic beings. That's what it is. Mike, you have something? All right. Now, 1 Peter 3:22. Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers remain subject unto him. Now, angels. Authority is one group of angels. Power is another group of angels made subject unto him. So the angelic celestial beings in heaven are really in subjection to Christ. See, that's what they are. Now you're going to learn demonic angels and satanology. They are all under the control of God and pressed by God. All right, next one. Now, archangels. Now, here are different names, all right? Archangels. In Jude 1:9, take a good look. A good look to the text, because the text itself, without you knowing Greek and Hebrew, reveal what it is. Jude 1, verse 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. So it seems to me that where was the archangel Michael? Guarding, all right? Guarding. He's guarding the people. And he's disputed with the body of Moses. Thus not bring against him a railing accusation, but said this. Look at what he said. The Lord, that refers to whom? To Jesus. The Lord rebuked thee. So they are two different people, Michael and the Lord. Even though they have very similar names. Archangel means one who is a prince. One of the prince. They had a difference. Exactly name of like Jesus. But here they said, these Michael would not rebuke the Lord, rebuked the devil, because he was lesser than the devil. He was ordering that the Lord will do things. Okay, the next, please. Now, the meaning. Archangel means the first of the chief princes. That's what the word archangel means. And the task was, they were a special guardian. All right? Now, we read Jude 1:9. Let's see Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 and follow. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against the angel. Who's the dragon? Satan. And prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That's what I believe. You know, some people say, well, Satan will go to God and tell about you. No, don't have to be afraid of that. Satan lost his position with God. Is that clear? Satan was cast out. And who's guarding heaven? Michael. And Satan will not go to heaven and tells about you. All right? And where is Satan? Where the Bible says Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast into the earth. That was Satan is. And his angels were cast out with him. Now, where do you see Satan in the book of Job? Chapter 1. Where do you see it? In heaven. Remember he said, and he went to accuse the Son of God. No longer he was cast out. All right? The next, please. Now, cherubim. And this is the place you find cherubim, chapter 3, verse 24. So he drove out the man, remember, after man's sin, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And so when man sinned, he was dismissed from heaven, and God put a special guard to this. Next, please. The title, the cherubim were to preserve the holiness of God, all right? And it's in Genesis, we read Genesis these, and in Exodus 25, 18 to 22, we have the same story. They were to preserve the holiness of God. Remember, man wanted to be God. A God is holy, so man cannot access himself to God by himself. That's what Ephesians 2 said, that now we have somebody who is a mediator between God and man. And then remember Ephesians 2:18 said, from the two, the Jew and the Gentile, he made one in Christ Jesus. That's what we have, Christ Jesus, to get into heaven, and we cannot go in our own way. The cherubims are guarding that. All right? Now, prince, that's another word for angels, in Daniel 10:13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, by Lord Michael, one of the chief princes. See, Michael is, Jesus called the prince. Remember in John 14:27, Jesus said, there's the prince of peace. It's called the prince. But Michael is not called the prince. It's called one of. See, one of the chief princes came to help me, and I remind there with the kings of Persia. The Jehovah Witness believe, because they don't believe that Jesus is God, they believe that Michael is Jesus. But Michael was created and Jesus not. And that's the big difference. All right? The next one, the seraph. In Isaiah 6:1, this is beautiful. In the year of the king Uzziah, I saw the Lord, say Isaiah, sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one has six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door move at the voice of him that cry, and the house was filled with smoke. All right? And then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. In other words, come on, I'm a sinner, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eye have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, these have touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. So what are the seraph? The word seraph means burning fire, burning fire. And the work of the seraph, according to what we read, is praise God in verse 3, then communication from God, verse 6 and 7. In other words, when Isaiah confessed, I'm a man of unclean lips, the seraph came down and cleaned his lips. So they were to preserve the holiness of God by taking away the uncleanness of the people of God. The cherub were to preserve the holiness of God, but never let anybody come in who is not holy. But the cherubs, the seraph, were in different way. They were servants to clean you so that you can see God. These are all real pictures of what Jesus have done, don't we? If you want to see God today, you don't pray to a seraph, to these. These are pictures of the Old Testament or the full work of one person. What is it? Christ. Christ is the one who come in and cleans you so you can be holy. Okay? There is a failure in the computer. All right? Okay, we get there. Okay, Prince Seraph. There is two more. Cherubim, all right, here it is. Pardon me? Oh, okay. We did it.
This is next week.
Next week? Oh, he mixed it with the next week. Okay, I had a sermon for the next week. All right, now, he ends with the cherubim. No, with the seraph. Okay, here is what... the thing is, there were angels in heaven all organized. Now, this organization of angels is not something to worry or to be deep in a study, because it's mysterious. Actually, if you ask me detailed questions, I don't have the answers. They were written over there. But each one has a function, and I want to dwell in these two functions, and the cherubims. Now, when there is sin, we block our way to God. Is that right? Adam sinned. God blocked it his way. And when we come as sinners, we cannot be blessed until what? What the seraph did? The seraph cleans us. Now, who does this work alone? Now, turn your Bible to 1 Timothy 2:5, and you will see. In 1 Timothy 2:5, you have one who makes both works, the works of the cherubs and the seraph one. Now, some people think that because Christ fulfilled all of these were not real things. I happen to believe that these are real angels in mysterious way work in heaven. But in 1 Timothy 2:5, Maria, can you read it for me? First Timothy? Too five? I don't think so. All right. Anthony got it. Okay, go ahead.
God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ.
For there is one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Jesus Christ. Now, a mediator is somebody who makes a reconciliation. We don't need angels to reconcile. What do we need? We need Christ. Now, it's good to study about these angels and so on. And so I will have a second study on certain portion of the angels, and then I want to have one or two studies on Satan. Now, again, I never teach the negative. I teach the positive, because once you know the positive, you know, once you know what the real dollar is, if somebody brings you a false dollar, you will know it. And my function as a pastor is to teach you about Christ and not about the devil. But I want you to be aware that there is a devil. And there is, remember, the devil and his company were cast out from heaven. And it's good to know. But we don't have to measure. Like some people said, well, we need to cast out demons. Are we in this earth to cast out demons? That's our function? Forget it. No. Even though I saw a man possessed with a demon, it is not my job to cast out demons. All right? What is my job in this earth? Acts 1:8. What is it? To be? No, Acts 1:8. Be a witness. And ye shall receive power upon you when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and ye shall be my witness. What's the first city that is mentioned? Jerusalem, the hometown. Judea, the neighborhood. Samaria, the enemy. And then? Do you know, if you study that verse, we are at the last point, the uttermost part of the earth? We are right there. Witnessing to the uttermost part of the earth. And so these studies of angels is to make you aware that there are angels, and they are organized in a certain way. And we don't know all the details. But what we need to study really and be concerned with this, that my position in heaven is not because of these angels. It is because of Christ, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. First, somebody mentioned the angels. Yes, I know. And that's it. Just a general knowledge. There are people who dwell in this and they make a big deal. I don't make a big deal, but I make a big deal on Jesus because he is the key. But as God is organized in heaven, he's organized in earth. You remember, let's look one more text, please. 1 Corinthians 14, I think it's the last verse when they said everything should be done in order. Let's see, decently and in order. It's 1 Corinthians 14. I don't know, verse 47, or the last verse, I think. 40. Verse 40, will you read it for me, whatever have it? Good, thank you, Russ. See, in the same way in heaven, there was sin in heaven, but God actually, decently, and in order. He drew man, remember, out of heaven. He put a guard in heaven. All right? But then God saved his people. So he brought the mediator who had the entrance into heaven. Everything is done decently and in order. And I believe heavens are organized. It's not just nothing. It's organized. The fact is, we don't know how. We know certain things, but we don't know all the details. I wonder what people are seeing today. You know, I try to study in the scripture. If a Christian die and goes to heaven, is he able to see everything? You know, all these questions come to my mind. I have some answers from the Bible, but they're not conclusive, so I should not share unless it's conclusive. I know one thing, that they enjoy the company of who? Of Jesus, because 1 Corinthians 5, verse 8 said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. See? But would they understand everything? Maybe until the end, I don't know all these details. But who cares? They're with Jesus. And one day, we're all going to be there, and we're all going to understand everything. The Bible said, you will know as you were known. In other words, God knew me before I was. And so I'm going to know the things of heaven. I don't need a notebook or a computer. I will know. But praise God for this. I hope this brief lesson give you an idea that God is an orderly God, that he has order in heaven and order in the earth. And we should live an orderly life, responsible to God. And we should always be thankful that we have a Savior who has fulfilled all the pictures of the Old Testament. We don't need another picture. Somebody told me there today, so it was a good sermon, Pastor, but you forgot one thing. So what is it? People should receive Christ literally. So yes, that's true. He said, well, Rahab believes in the Bible. No, you should drink the wine, and when you drink the wine, the communion, you should receive Christ. Well, these are inventions of mankind, all right? The Bible doesn't say that Rahab received Christ by drinking something. She, what Hebrew said? He said, she believed. And so I teach you all these details in general so that you don't be fooled by somebody. Heavenly is an order. God's an orderly God. And the Bible says, because I'm Jehovah, in Malachi 3:6, I change not. And God's going to fulfill his plan in a marvelous way. In the Old Testament, you have all these kinds of pictures and things there to show you the plan of God. In the New Testament, you have Christ, who fulfilled everything and who reached into your heart. And that's the person that we should study. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you show us through the Bible the great and mighty plan of God. And you show us through the Bible how God really works. And in the Old Testament, these people have mysterious appearance of things. But Father, thank you that you have revealed to us Jesus, who fulfilled all things to our life and who gave us all things so that we may worship him and love him. Lord, we pray for those who believe not, that they too may come under your mercy to believe in a Savior who have crossed the cherubims and crossed the seraph and bring us into the very presence of God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.